Country Kickoff on a Friday evening here on Sports Talk, 1500 AM, 99.1 FM, KPGM. It is time for our first Pick'em segment of the 2020 season. And Chris Rivard is back once again. It's the Arvest crew still.
Yeah, we're back. We're ready to go. We're so excited that we're going to have some sports, some football to talk about. These kids are going to get to play. We have a new one with us this season. Excited to announce Chris Batchelder with us tonight to pick these games for us. And he's going to be with us all season. If you don't know who Chris Batchelder is, give it about a minute or two. You'll think that you've known him your whole life.
A new old one, I think you should point out. A new old one.
Exactly. He is a legend.
We fired Tim Bart and...
Yeah.
Evan, he doesn't know it yet.
He didn't know it yet. No, I did not. Chris Rivard fired Tim. No. Rivard is in charge of booking the guests.
No. Good part. Just call in. We're waiting on you to call in. So call in, get your pickups in.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, he did cheat so much that maybe he did get fired.
Did he cheat?
Oh, gosh.
I'm just glad there's an Oklahoma State guy here now.
All the time.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you're outnumbered now.
Yeah. We flipped the script on that number after the last 3 years.
Yeah. Hopefully after the first couple of weeks or months of Bruin home games, maybe people will recognize the new PA voice of the Bartlesville Bruins on the radio.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, because they fired Clint Musselwhite, too. Those are the two people
that fired him. So, Batch has fired a lot of people since
he's been he's replacing lots of
like a bulldozer.
People. Oh, my gosh.
He's
fired everywhere.
Pretty rough.
Everybody. So, but anyways, we're back to high school football. Everybody's excited to play. Mm-hmm. Didn't know if it was going to happen or not.
Man, yeah.
Oh, man, it's been a crazy world, crazy times. Who knows? Will they finish the season? You know, there's no telling. Is the schedule that I'm sitting here currently looking at going to be the same schedule, you know, for the entire year? We have no idea. Yeah. They're already changing games, and some teams aren't playing. Now they're canceling for a day. Now my question is, you guys, if they cancel a game, if you can't play because you got your players have COVID or whatever, is that a forfeit?
I don't know.
The OSSCA they addressed this a while back.
Okay.
Back in like June, July, and they I don't know the specifics off the top of my head, but I don't believe it is a forfeit. They've taken stuff out so that way once you get in now non-district games, I don't know, but once you get into district play, they have things in there that builds in winning percentage for the playoffs because
the
I think
OSSA
that they're
OSSA has done this.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you 100% sure on this deal?
Because I am. Yeah.
I have talked to several high school principals, athletic directors, and asked them the same question. They have no idea. Well, and this is as of yesterday.
Yeah, they hadn't paid attention.
Maybe you're right.
I mean, I don't know
Evan
these specifics.
Knows all the rules.
Oh, listen, I trust Evan over any.
I do too.
Anybody.
I'm excited. This.
It may be that there's something up in the air still, but I know that they addressed that and talked about having leniency.
So if we get in district play and a team cannot play, mm-hmm. okay.
I think that the first thing that they want to do is they want to make it up somehow. That's the first thing they want to do.
Well, I mean, you can't expect them to play two games in one season or 1 week.
I think moving things back at the end would very much be on the table in that scenario.
That
if that's something
sense.
That we're dealing with, I wouldn't be surprised if that. So I think that's the first thing they want to try to do is make the game up.
Right.
If they're not able to make the game up, then yeah, I mean it's not going to be perfect.
I think you're right.
I mean, if you thought it was going to be perfect, and I'm not saying you thought, if anyone listening thought it was going to be perfect, that it probably will not be. I think we're already seeing that.
I think that if it becomes a problem and they are canceling games, then they're not going to have any playoffs.
That's possible. Yeah.
I mean, I can't foresee any fair way of doing it. I mean, because you got to understand just. You can't punish the team who's got, you know, their kids got COVID or whatever it is. Maybe it's a coach. Who knows? So, I mean, they can't. That team. And then you got the other team who, well, they're just fine, but they don't have anybody to play.
Well, that's the thing. And
you can, if we're going to start talking about the OSSAA, another thing that I really think is interesting that a lot of people hadn't talked a ton about in high school football anyway, is that how those teams or districts want to adjudicate what they do if or when they have a problem on their team is going to be completely different from district to district.
Yeah,
you could see, I mean, this is just a scenario. I don't have any information. Union might take that kid out, maybe one or two other kids, and that's it. You wouldn't even hardly know the difference.
Yeah.
But Jinx might say, the whole team's locked down for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
There's not any kind of rule or anything like that. It's up to the team. It's up to the school. So it's really, and I'm not saying anyone's going to be unfair or unsafe, or I don't know. I'm just telling you, I have a feeling that different people will see that differently once we get into those decisions being made.
And I know we're not having this show to bash on the OSSAA, but in my mind, what you're talking about right now is the fundamental problem.
Yeah, it's a mess.
From the beginning of this thing. And the reason, again, I won't waste a bunch of our time with this, but the reason that groups like high school athletics or anything like that have associations and leadership organizations like that is to manage through times of crisis. And what's happened here with the OSSAA is they have completely abandoned leadership during this time. And it's really a shame because the, you know, state and everybody involved in secondary activities could really use a set of policies and procedures right now, like you're saying, Evan, that applies to everybody in every program. And it's just a complete void of that.
Yeah, and you've seen, like, for instance, at the higher levels, like teams like Bartlesville, they've gotten together with ADs from the Frontier Valley Conference, and they have some sort of a set of guidelines, right? But you don't necessarily have that in some of the smaller schools. And if we go back, this all started June 1, right, when the OSSAA initially had a set of guidelines they were going to implement for the summer and gradually bring kids back and this, that, and the other, and then the board voted it down. So once the board voted that down, I think whoever makes up that board was speaking pretty loud and clear that we're not going to actually have any say over this at all, and that's what they've done. They haven't done anything. And I'm not even saying that derogatorily. You can take it however you want, but they really haven't done anything of note since they canceled the spring sports, right? Nothing of note has happened from the OSSAA since then.
No, and you're right. But and I see the same. I agree with what Batch said. On the flip side about that, the argument on the side of that is that this situation varies so much, you know, per location,
sure,
or district to district. You know, out in the panhandle, they don't have a problem at all. There's nothing. And so you start talking about schools in Tulsa and comparing them to schools in the panhandle and making one set of rules that apply to everybody, yeah, that could be a little unfair, too.
Yeah.
There's OSSA, too. They're also kind of in a bad position because schools are ran by that district. You know, that's ultimately who has the final say in what goes on. So they could implement these, you know, guidelines or rules or whatever they want to do, and a school district gets together, a local school board gets together and say, we're not comfortable with that.
It didn't matter.
And it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any difference.
You know, one of the things that I think all of us have learned through these past 6 months is that really, on a daily basis, all you can do is deal with what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And what we know today is we're playing high school football.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so that, to me, is exciting enough to talk about. I mean, we are in football. You know, they call it 0 week, but we are in a week right now where there are about to be high school football games played and, you know, a scrimmage in Bartlesville. And so, to me, this is – I'm just thrilled that we're – talking about this.
Sure.
I really didn't think we would.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am too. Kids are getting to play.
Well, we're going to have a pick'em segment here at the end of every Green Country Kickoff on KPGM. Evan Farbach, Chris Batchelder, Chris Rivard with us. And let's go ahead and hop to some of the picks now. Obviously, no college games this weekend because of a lot of the things we just talked about. I'll probably skip over Owosso a lot once we get into the regular season, but we've only got five games on the docket, including them for our kind of Tri-County area. So let's go ahead and begin with the defending state champion Owosso Rams. That is a 6A1 top five battle as Edmond Santa Fe visits town tonight, and that's a ball game we'll carry for you on 100.1 KYFM. Owosso and Edmond Santa Fe.
It's hard to pick against a defending state champion, especially a defending state champion that is so well coached by Coach Blankenship. They do have a quarterback battle going on. Mysteriously, they had a kid that moved in from way out of state, from like Louisiana or somewhere. Crazy.
Yeah. That's a mysterious thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's really good.
Yeah.
He's really good. So.
Maybe he knew there was a hurricane coming. And
yeah.
So he,
maybe
he,
so. Yeah. Maybe you're right. But they do have a quarterback battle going on. They did have to replace some of their offensive line and lost a couple skill players. But well coached, and I'm definitely going to take the Rams.
Yeah, same for me. You hit on both of my reasons. You know, it's kind of you don't bet against the defending champion unless you have a real reason not to, and I don't see one here, and I would never bet against Coach Blankenship. I just I see everything pointing their direction again. In fact, I see everything pointing their direction all season.
Yeah.
Owosso, both the Rivard and Batchelder taking Owosso pick'em segment on Green Country Kickoff. Let's go to a eight-man battle and something we talked about earlier in the program. I think one of the coolest stories in our area as far as Zero Week goes. Copan getting to play their first Copan High School Hornet football game since 2016. Much better numbers up there. Foreman family, a coaching tree now at Copan. They will be hosting Oaks Mission, a club that kept Copan South Coffeyville out of the playoffs in just their last game. That was the last game they played, week 10 in 2019, was Copan South Coffeyville against Oaks Mission, and the eight-man Hornets will host them tonight up in Copan.
Go ahead, Batch.
I love the story. I read a little bit about this, like Evan said, and so I'm going to pick Copan just because I think it's a cool story. I know Oaks Mission is probably the better team and more experienced team just because of the fact that there haven't been great numbers, but I love the Copan story, and so I'm gonna root for the good story.
I thought he was gonna break out some Oaks Mission knowledge there.
No,
for a second.
I certainly don't have any of that. No,
well, I thought that's what was coming. I was excited.
Well, I know the Foreman family. I've known them for a long time. They're a great family, competitors, and since you know they're taking over, I definitely think Copan's going to be a lot better this year. They've got more kids out. They're getting to play on their own. There's excitement. Hey, they have a Copan Hornet that has taken over the reins there.
Yeah.
So their kids are going to be excited, and they're going to play hard, and they're going to be well coached. The community's going to be behind them. So I'm taking the Hornets. You know, I think this year's going to be a good year for the Hornets. If they can continue to play and stay COVID-free, then, you know, they might get in the playoffs.
Copan, both of them take the Hornets. We've been chalk so far. Let's go over to our west. Bahuska is making a trip to Noble County, central Oklahoma, to take on Perry. It's the Maroons and the Huskies. I saw that the Tulsa World picked Bahuska as their Class A favorite, made the quarters a year ago. There are not a ton of Division I quarterbacks in Class A, I do not believe, but Bahuska has one of them in Bryce Drummond, and that's a game we'll have coming up within the hour right here on KPGM.
Last Friday, I went over and watched Pawhuska, Holland Hall, Sperry, and Rejoice scrimmage. Very good scrimmage, very good teams competing. A little disappointed I didn't get to watch Bryce play. He sat out the scrimmage and didn't play. But his little brother played, and his little brother can play too. He's pretty good. He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore, yeah.
He can play, so he can throw it around a little bit. Pawhuska gets a lot of kids back from last year's quarterfinal team. They are very, very athletic, and if Bryce is playing, they're very good. If the little brother, if he continues to excel and gets game time, and for some reason Bryce couldn't play or something, they're going to be just fine. Defensively, they fly around, they hit people. Just a typical Coach Hennessy defense. You know, they're going to bring the heat, and they're pretty good. I think Perry has zero chance against Buska tonight.
I'm going to go a step further. So I spent a lot of time, as you guys know, over the last 10 years living in Stillwater, and know a lot of Perry folks, know a little bit about Perry sports. In fact, I heard Evan on the radio the other day talking about the Maroons, the Perry Maroons. How about that? And so I also know I have followed a little bit of the Pawhuska team the last couple of years. They return a lot of guys, like you said, if their senior quarterback plays in this game, and I think he will a little bit, and I'll tell you why I think it'll only be a little bit. I think Pawhuska will win by 30-plus.
Yeah.
They may even win by 40-plus. I think this is not even going to be a game.
Yeah, I agree.
Both of them take the Huskies. Let's move to one of our localer teams a little bit to our north. Dewey traveling to the northeast to take on Miami. Bulldogs in their second season under Trent Turner took a step forward a year ago, and they will begin their year at 4A Miami. First time Dewey has played a 4A team since the Doggers dropped to 2A in 2018.
Well, first we got to correct you. You said the Bulldogs.
No, I said the War Dogs.
I thought he said
no War Dogs.
Okay. No War Dogs of Miami. Okay. I'm aware of Dewey's nickname.
Okay, well, that would be offensive to me right here. As a
I saw that Chris Revard's Twitter handle is still like Bulldogger Athletics.
Yeah,
that's don't right. they need
I
that
need
back?
To change it. They can have it.
Okay,
I need to change.
I saw
it.
That. I was like, man,
that,
who's this Bulldogger Athletics on Twitter? Oh, it's someone that doesn't work at
copyright
Dewey.
Copyright infringement.
I can gladly give it back. Yeah. Okay. Batch, this is yours. We rotate back and forth, and that way you're not always copying my picks.
Okay. All right. I'm happy to go first. I am probably going to get hate mail over this, but again, I know quite a few folks over in Miami, and I know they've got a pretty decent team. And I love the fact that they're playing this game. I think it's going to be a great game. I don't think it'll be a blowout at all, but I do think that the Miami team is just a little bit better and probably going to win this one.
I understand your pick.
Okay.
I do. So the Bulldoggers come off of 7-4 last year. Mm-hmm. Had a great season. Coach Turner did a phenomenal job, but the problem is they lost a bunch of players and key players too. So right now they got a quarterback battle going on. Between Lewis and
Munninger,
yes, great kids too, both of them, know them well, and so they have not decided who's going to start at quarterback there. I kind of like how Coach Turner's doing it. Let them play a little bit, a little non-district. Let them fight it out, see what happens. But they are young; they're very, very young. A lot of kids who haven't played on a Friday night ever. And so that's going to be a challenge for them this year. We all know they're very well coached. Coach Turner, his dad, all of them do a very good job. I think that going to Miami is going to be tough, and not to mention they're going to be playing in a big stadium. Could be a kind of an eye-opener for some of those kids. And, you know, another thing is we have two new quarterbacks that are going onto a field that does not have a track around it, and that's a problem. I mean, it's visually a problem for quarterbacks. When you're used to playing and you have all this space out there and then all of a sudden there's no space. So it does affect the quarterback. So going to take the War Dogs tonight in a very close game. Just because I know that Batch and I have a new car riding on this. so I need to compete.
Did you know that Trent Turner told Max earlier this week the last time Miami made the playoffs was when Trent Turner was their quarterback?
You're kidding.
Wow.
That's what he said.
How about that?
That's interesting. It's
been about probably 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
Dewey, both of them take the War Dogs of Miami. Final game, big game of the week on K-Rig 104.9 tonight. Our featured ball game, Nowata County Rivalry. It is a zero-week senior night for the Ironmen, as Nowata will be taking on Oklahoma Union. Cougars have won two straight in that matchup. Nowata, Oklahoma Union tonight.
Noel has got a new coach. Seems like that's been a...
Yeah, we've said that a lot.
Every year, it's, you know, Noel's got a new coach. Well, you know, hopefully he's got them kids out. I know last year they kind of struggled with some numbers. Had a few athletes on their team, so ended up competing in several games. But Oklahoma Union, they have a talented group of, I believe they're juniors this year. And they have been playing since they were freshmen. And so they're pretty good. Oklahoma Union's always struggled the first few games. That's my only concern.
Yeah, that's true.
But late in the year, I know a couple years ago they were 0-5 and then won their last five games and got in the playoffs. So hopefully that won't happen this year, but I just think Oklahoma Union is going to be too much for the Ironmen.
I just don't know enough about Nowata with their new coaches and everything that they've got going on. Like you mentioned, Rev, their numbers have been just so hit and miss lately. I just, you know, just reading a little bit about Oklahoma Union just makes me feel like they're going to be the more prepared team. I'm taking Oklahoma Union.
Okay, you guys picked all the same team.
I know. That's not going to work all season, is it?
So we're going to have to do something. Let's pick the score of Oklahoma Union Nowata so we can at least get someone
okay.
to win the first week.
All right. I think it's going to be 35-11 Oklahoma Union.
11.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
The 2-point conversion field goal? Yeah, is that what we're thinking?
So. Yeah, get ready.
Huh.
Or that's two safeties.
35-11. So I'm going to go, I'm going to say 42-21.
All right. Well, we don't have any college games to talk about.
I don't. Well, we will soon.
We will.
And next week we'll have a full slate. So
I think we will at least have some college games to talk about for at least the first week.
Yeah.
I can't really say beyond that, but I do think regardless. For at least the first week.
Regardless, we're here. Kids are out playing. They're back on the field.
Yep.
And we're getting to watch some sports and talk about it, so that's all exciting.
And I'll say, I know that softball and volleyball and a couple of other fall sports have started. But, you know, the NBA is one thing. Major League Baseball is another thing. NHL. I've been so glad to have sports back on TV. But for me, having high school football back really makes me feel like now we're really starting to get into fall.
Yeah.
You're right.
Completely agree. Well, yeah, it certainly doesn't feel like fall with the NBA playing or not
it's
playing.
It's very weird.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. Green Country Kickoff Pick'em segment, round number one. We'll be here every single Friday evening on KPGM running down the games. We'll take a break, come back. Max and I will run down the complete schedule throughout the area and wrap things up. It's another Green Country Kickoff on KPGM.